Last June, a sound captured the nation, one that's difficult to listen to, even to this day. Those are children, sobbing after being separated from their parents at the southern U.S. border under the Trump administration's zero-tolerance immigration policy. That recording is from ProPublica. The policy was widely denounced as inhumane, and thousands of people around the country took to the streets to protest.
Stop taking children! Keep families out of prison! Stop taking children! Keep families out of prison! Stop taking children!
But thousands of children were separated from their parents before the Trump administration officially ended the policy. And even today, children continue to be taken from their families at the border. And the government is pushing more policies that seem to question the very humanity of the people who try to enter this country. Just recently, the Trump administration announced it would cut things like soccer and legal aid for unaccompanied children in federal custody. A man is on trial for giving aid to migrants at the southern border, as Border Patrol agents systematically destroy water bottles left in the desert for dehydrated migrants. And at least five migrant children have died in the past 7 months after crossing the border. But the mass public outcry of a year ago has largely gone quiet. I'm Tanzina Vega, and today on The Takeaway, questions of humanity at the border, more than a year since family separation. Joining me now is Javier Zamora, a poet, writer, and educator from El Salvador. Javier, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
So we hear a lot of people, politicians, activists, parents, using the word inhumane. And I want to ask you, in your experience, as someone who has been a migrant to this country, have you seen a difference in the way you were treated versus the actions we're seeing today? Is what we are seeing today inhumane?
I just want to return to that word, inhumane. That means less than human. And I immigrated here in 1999, and I crossed through the Sonoran Desert. At the time, a kid couldn't be held in detention for more than a day or two. And so that was my experience. I'd never experienced, you know, jail time. And now every presidency since has increased that time. And now I would say that we are diving less and more into more inhumane practices that we're seeing today, like the family separations and everything. It has gotten worse.
And I want to bring in here, we have Aura Abogado, who's an immigration reporter for Reveal at the Center for Investigative Reporting. Aura, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you, Tanzina.
We're just talking to Javier Zamora about this, but this word inhumane, in your reporting, which you've done extensively on this issue, would you describe what you have seen in your reporting about this crisis at the border and children in particular as inhumane?
Well, people that I've talked to for years have certainly described it to me in that way. People who've just arrived to the United States, including children, have talked for years about hieleras or ice boxes that they're placed into by Border Patrol. They're freezing cold. They're sometimes absolutely packed to the point where you have to very carefully step over people in order to get to the toilet, which is an open-air toilet inside of the same cell that you're placed into. It's sometimes so crowded that someone has to stand on top of the toilet just for space. Adults talk about detention centers where the food is a daily sandwich of moldy bread and rotten bologna, and this was recently validated by the Inspector General, who made a report on surprise visits that they made to four detention centers. Last year, you know, our publication, Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting, published the first big story on massive cases of abuse that we've seen at children's shelters around the country. So that's just a little bit, you know, some of what I've heard and some of what I've reported on. And repeatedly, I've had people tell me that they've been treated like animals or treated worse than animals.
One of the things that we're also mentioning in this is that there have been activists who are now being criminalized for essentially trying to help migrants. And that's everything from leaving water in the desert and beyond. And we know that there were a group of activists who were sentenced for doing exactly that. Curious for both of you, Aura, I'd love to hear your thoughts initially on this. Is this relatively new to see humanitarian activists criminalized for their work?
It's not new. The prosecutions also go back to more than 10 years. It used to be that I used to just get a lot of hate mail, which I still get. But a lot of people, I think now more than ever, just want to know what's happening. And I think it does match up with the fact that the rhetoric from this administration is unlike anything that we've seen from prior administrations when it comes to this topic of immigration particularly.
And Javier, you're nodding. I'm wondering what you feel when you hear about these humanitarian workers who are being essentially prosecuted for their work.
I think it's the people who actually treat immigrants as humans are being rounded up now as well. And that is a problem. And now with this case, there's the fear of the changing in the language of the term harboring and transportation. That is what's at stake. And if that changes, then anybody could be prosecuted for transporting immigrants in a mixed status family, for example. And that is a huge fear that the immigration community has at the moment.
And you're saying that it's also people who help this community that are also being prosecuted. What do you think the long-term impact of that will be?
There's going to be increased fear of people who actually want to help and doing something as simple as just giving water to immigrants. Now there's going to be even a fear of incarceration for citizens as well.
Aura, one of the things, you're out here reporting and sort of having to, quote unquote, stick to the facts, right, in a lot of what we do as journalists. But the language that we use in talking about these issues are also really important. How do you as a journalist try to infuse humanity in your work when it comes to this population?
So I write about human beings, and I think that for other reporters, perhaps reporters who haven't been on the beat as long or cover national security, for example, like I've noticed that increasingly reporters who report on national security and whose best sources are in the government, particularly at Department of Homeland Security, do approach this as an enforcement issue and tend to objectivize the people who are affected by the policies that are being written about. I write from the perspective of people who experience those policies. So going back again to the Scott Warren case, who's being criminalized, the charges are harboring migrants. You know, the area that Warren works in Arizona, just last year I did a story about a group of people called Los Armadillos, which is a volunteer group that scours the desert to find remains. Last year, for example, they found remains of someone who had perished in that location in 2008, right? Totally different administration. And I do try to remember that these stories are about people. They're about human beings. They're about human beings that are making often difficult decisions to leave the places that they're from and know that they may face great peril. And I think that is also a lot of what I see with increased immigration reporting. There's always a focus on illegality. It's very difficult to find a story that doesn't say illegal or illegally, as if somehow an action that someone may or may not have committed one time.
Javier, do we run the risk of becoming desensitized to this issue?
Absolutely. And to return to Aura's point of what the language that we use, what it means to be dehuman is literally means to be not human. And this language, like she's saying, we always return to the term illegal or dehumanized or animals and all these other adjectives around the whole issue of immigration, even alien, the biggest one. If a listener or a reader starts to hear these terms and you start looking at immigrants as less than human, we run the risk, and we already are there, I feel, of not having empathy, because you only have empathy for somebody that you consider a human being. And so you can't have empathy if you think that other person's an animal.
So Javier, we mentioned that 5 children have died after spending time in immigration custody since December. When you see those headlines, what's your initial reaction?
For me, what goes through my head, I can't help but to think back of my time when I was crossing the border. And the question that returns to me is, wow, that could have been me. And that could have been me haunts me, which is why I try to avoid the news. if I'm being honest, I try to avoid them because I've known that this has been happening. It's happening more. And I'm glad that we are covering it so much in the news. I think other people need to know. But I just wish it wasn't happening.
Is there any hope to be had at this point? Are there any bright spots in this very difficult story?
I think, you know, I've critiqued the coverage of immigration as well, but I think if I'm being hopeful about it, I like that these issues are being highlighted and highlighted by newscasts that are responsible in their terminology and their approach, which I think this program, it's one of those. And Aura, who is on here as well, she's doing great work. And I think that is very hopeful.
Aura talked a little bit about what it's like to be a journalist covering this and the language that we use when we're talking about the situation at the southern border. What about the images that we see?
That's a very interesting question. Because in the New York Times, it's always where the camera is at. And I think Aura has also covered this. It's always from the border's point of view, from the United States point of view. So you always see images of immigrants coming at you. And if we were to change just the focus of images like that, if we were to take a picture, for example, from Mexico looking into the United States, I think the viewer would be more empathetic and would put themselves in the shoes of those immigrants. And that would be an even more hopeful idea.
I'm thinking particularly of the photo of the little girl crying that was almost iconic when mm-hmm. this policy started. Do you think that something like that helps the situation or really sheds light on what's happening?
I like the point because that was taken from the Mexico side. What I don't, regarding that picture in particular, was the violence around it. So when can we take a picture of an immigrant who is immigrating here without the backdrop of violence?
And trauma.
We need to show joy because humans are not only about violence and trauma, immigrants included. We need to show other complexities of the human experience because immigrants are humans as well.
Javier Zamora is a poet, writer, and educator from El Salvador, and Aura Abogado is an immigration reporter for Reveal. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.